you are the officer in charge of the Marine Corps Wounded Warrior Detachment at the Marine Corps base at 29 Palms. You founded Soul Survivor Outdoor, correct?
That's correct. Yes,
and
I did.
So, and for those of you who weren't listening on the 1 year celebration of Doc's legacy, go ahead and explain exactly what Soul Survivor Outdoor is.
Yes, so Soul Survivor Outdoor is serving the active duty community through outdoor adventure, and our focus is really on this spiritual fitness component and helping military members have a firm foundation for living so that they can be prepared on and off the battlefield for the challenges that they're going to face.
And that's just it. For those who aren't familiar with the and challenges, that's a mild word for what actually happens. I mean, when you come back, when soldiers come back from the battlefield, it is I can't imagine the transition you have to make back into civilian life when you have been fighting for your very existence, literally just in some cases the day before. But what does it, I mean, does this affect equally on both sides, men and women, when it comes to the soldiers returning?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. And the challenges that they're facing are pretty significant. And there are certainly challenges in the day-to-day life that everybody encounters. And so we just want to be able to engage in this discussion of some of the more important things in life, because we found that, in fact, I think I mentioned this on the previous show, one of the staff sergeants, so someone who had been around the Marine Corps for quite some time, mm-hmm. said after 9/11, I joined the Marine Corps because I thought it would be important to fight the monsters that were trying to destroy our country. And after a couple of deployments and combat and so forth, came back and said, I think maybe I have become the monster that I went to fight, and right. I am afraid to be around my wife and mm-hmm. my children. And so obviously that's one of the more significant cases that you might see, but clearly the challenges that the combat and these environments kind of raise your stress level up a little bit, and what is it that your life is built on? And those are the things that we're focusing on.
Right.
And if I have another moment.
Oh, yeah, please continue.
Yeah, so we also know that this population group, it's a little tough to, have this conversation.
Right.
If you're on base or you're seen perhaps for the most part, and this would exclude boot camp and places like that where the chapels are full. But in general, you don't see chapel services and these discussions being held too much. And
right.
so we use really extreme adventure kinds of things like rock climbing and skydiving and sailing. Of course, our programs are free. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but that is an enticement, basically, and mm-hmm. a catalyst to be able to have these discussions. And it really, really provides an environment where they become open to talk about, you know, what's going on, and maybe hear a story that we might be able to share with them that says, you know, there's some things that are pretty important in your life that that need to be discussed and that are going to have long-ranging ramifications for your life.
Right, and the thing is that this was born out of necessity because the system, quote unquote, that was set up, whether it's the VA or, you know, just the institutionalized medical community here in this country, it isn't set up to serve, which is ironic in the case of the VA. It's not set up to serve what is really happening in the minds of those coming back from the battlefield. You have to depend on each other. It's that family unit that you form on the battlefield right back here. I had a friend who is he returned from Iraq, and he was dealing with all sorts of issues, and he couldn't go to a traditional psychiatrist because he's working personal security. And at that point, if he had gotten any sort of a off-center diagnosis, it risked his carry license. So in a lot of cases, you're dealing with the welfare and the jobs of these soldiers coming back from war. So it's interesting that you have kind of the extreme sports, and that's by design, right? I mean, because you're dealing with essentially the adrenaline rush coming off the battlefield and trying to transition back into society.
Absolutely, and in reality, you know, we're competing against a lot of things. If you're trying to compete for this group of 18 to 25 year olds and their attention and so forth, the mm-hmm. phone, the Xbox, you know, you name it. There are a lot of distractions in life. So what is it that's going to, you know, kind of compel them or get their attention? And also, when you mentioned the VA, and of course they're doing some great work, but I think we talked about this, or probably Chad Robichaux mentioned it, on your show for Mighty Oaks, mm-hmm. this idea that both the VA and the Department of Defense have stood up about 1,200 clinical programs since 2003, and the suicide rate in 2003 among military and veterans was about 16 a day. And with those 1,200 programs being stood up over those past years, we're looking at 22 a day, perhaps more. And right. so the clinical approach and not addressing really this heart issue is having some serious impacts, and obviously not addressing the problem that's causing folks to go in that direction. And so, and that's a big part of what we do, because with about 45,000 veteran nonprofits out there that are dealing with veteran issues, what about prevention? And so, you know, that's key. And of course, military commanders and so forth, I think, are pretty excited about what we're doing, because it contributes to readiness. You know, are they combat ready? Can they focus on the mission? And so, you know, we're a Christian organization, and so our faith perspective is that. Right. But commanders may or may not be interested in that. But what they are interested in is, can we help build a person that is, you know, fit mentally, physically, and spiritually, and ultimately be a combat-ready force? And so I think, you know, we've had a lot of success because of that. And had access to, you know, this year, by this weekend, we'll have had about 200 active duty out doing these types of things. And last year, we had about 930 active duty out jumping out of planes, going sailing. I know fly fishing isn't exactly a extreme sport, but we had some folks doing those kinds of things.
It depends on how big a fish you hook, right? It's all about the fight.
That's true, there. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But in some cases, that may be the sport that they need. Maybe it, because I mean, again, that's the beauty of this, is it's not cookie cutter, which I think again goes back to the way the VA in this case and a lot of other institutions try to attack these problems with a one size fits all. And you guys have, I mean, it truly is personalized. It's a one-on-one Absolutely. Situation with you, and that's the beauty of it. That's what makes this work. How do people get more information about the Soul Survivor Outdoor Program?
So they can find out about us by simply going to soulsurvivoroutdoor.org. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/soulsurvivoroutdoor. And they ought to be sure to spell that S-O-U-L, so that'll right. help them get to that page.
All right.
And if you have another moment,
yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned that this one-on-one component, and, mm-hmm. and a real critical factor, I believe, is this peer-based situation. So, you know, our events are typically the activity, a meal, a conversation by somebody who's been there, done that, and we have a pretty good mix of volunteers, about half of which have served actively in the military, and then some who just have a very distinct interest in the military. But that piece of, you know, the been there, done that, mm-hmm. and that relational piece, so that, and that I think is sometimes where the clinical thing falls short, is if I'm a military service member and I'm talking to somebody who has an academic approach to things and they've served in the academic community, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Education is right. important, but a lot of times the individual coming back is saying, well, what do you really have to offer for me? Because you don't know
right,
what I've been through or the challenges that I've faced. And so that peer-based piece is pretty darn important.
Oh, and, extremely.
Being able to have these conversations.
I had a friend when he retired from the SEALs. He called me and he said, this had been, I don't know, probably a year or so after he got back. And he'd started working a 9-to-5. And he said, how do you do this? He called me. He says, how do you handle this on a day to day? I said, I said, I have no idea what you've seen. I can't even comprehend the things that you've seen, that you've done. I don't know how, I don't know how you, reincorporate yourself into this world either. I mean, it's something that, you don't understand, because I've been there on the not understanding end. If you haven't been in that situation, like you just said, it is I would say of the utmost importance to have that that relationship there with somebody who's been there and done that, because otherwise there really is nothing else to compare it to.
When you talk about it, war. Is pretty tough.
Yeah,
it's pretty tough to we all have our different experiences, and mm-hmm. We could be talking about other types of challenges, other types of trauma that are going on, and If I've lost a child and you haven't, it's kind of hard for you to say things. I mean, people will typically say something like, well, I know exactly how you feel. Yeah, and I suspect most counselors don't say those kinds of things, but it's not very helpful, of course. And so, yes, the been there, done that, peer-to-peer component's pretty important. Being able to be able to get these folks out of their element and have these conversations, and break past some of the noise, and I mentioned the phones and the technology and all that kind of stuff, is pretty important. And then the receptiveness to what we're doing, both from the individual level, which is really our customer, and also the commanders and the chaplains, has just been kind of exploding and getting bigger and bigger as we move on, and have some great partners. And I mentioned Mighty Oaks; they're a pretty significant partner to what we do, and some others like the Christian Broadcasting Network, for example. And they don't typically get involved in event-driven kinds of things, but they've said, "Hey, what you're doing seems to be very unique, and it's getting a lot of traction. You know, how can we help you?" And so they're also a financial partner in what we do.
And again, the website is soulsurvivoroutdoor.org. You can also find them over on Facebook. Just do a search there for Soul Survivor Outdoor. Lieutenant Colonel Rick Wolf, USMC retired. It is a pleasure as always. And anytime you want to be on the program and let us know what's going on, you have an open door.
I appreciate it, Brad. Thank you so much. And you guys have a great day.